First, I would like to thank the organization committee to put together this wonderful workshop. I learned, you know, from this afternoon's seminar. And actually, my name is Mark Chen, and I have been working with Dr. Mauro Ferrari for the last 2 years. And Dr. Mauro Ferrari wants to apologize to everybody because he couldn't be able to come here to give a talk because some personal issue, but I will do my best. So our group, actually, we are in the transition, moving from the Ohio State to the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. And our interest is to put the engineering platform into a clinical use. So we are quite happy about the movement because we are, in the future, we'll be located in the Texas Medical Center, which there are, you know, 13 hospitals, and you know, we see patients like 6.5 million every year. So there will be a lot opportunity for us. And my talk will be based on our past work, focus on the silicon imprint for the drug delivery system. First of all, I would like to do a little commercial about our group. So we have been working hard for several technology platforms. The first is the proteomic chip. So our interest is to make the silicon chip that be able to fractionate the low molecular weight protein from the biophilic sample, like a serum or tumor extraction or urine, saliva, things like that. And our purpose is to direct interface the mass spectrum to improve the sensitivity for biomarker research. And the second thing we are interested to is to make the therapeutic nano vector. So these are the one example. These are the silicon particle we make, and there are several steps functional. We first immobilize with antibody and the local drug, and some make it functional. And
how big are those?
These are 2 micron.
And they're silicon?
They are silicon.
Silicon.
And the third research focus in our group is to make the nano vector contrast agent. For example, these are iron oxide, and they are the size of 5 nanometer, and we are interested to put that in the MRI and the ultrasound. And the first technology platform we are working so hard for the last 10 years is silicon imprint, and which I will give more detail in the next hour. So the idea, the drug delivery system, is that the first you request the high selectivity of drug, you know, so they you can deliver to the diseased cell or tissue. And the second is that, you know, it can localize and the long-term release of this drug. But you know, if you look at the nowadays, you know, if you do an IP injection, what's so happen? You get a lot of dose, which it's already exceed to the therapeutic range and may cause some side effect toxicity issue. And so so we are working, you know. So nowadays, most of drug delivery system, you know, they what they do is that they want to change the profile. So they every time they just you know, dose a little bit and do a multi-stage. So in average, the drug dose will be within the therapeutic range for a long time. So give you an example. So this is the microchip company, which is a spin-off from Rob Langer from MIT group. So in their device, they have many reservoirs, which the drug will be low in each tiny reservoir, and then seal it. And when you apply the voltage between the anode and cathode, the gold membrane will be eruptured, so the drug will come in out and do the release. And the most advantage of this is that you know, you are able to load multiple drug, and you can program it, you know, as you want, because it's basically a array of the micro-reservoir with a drug. But in reality is that, you know, because these membranes are really thin, and when you do it as an implant device, excuse me, when you do that as an implant device, you people don't know, we don't know, and they don't know if this membrane pressure will just broken in the body. And for their device, it's very packaged. Imagine if you want to load the very tiny drop in each tiny reservoir and seal it perfectly in the body. So we have been working on another technology which is called the nano channel for the last 13 years. So our interest is to make a nano channel with that's compared to the size of the molecule. So this is an example. So we make this nano channel on the 4-inch wafer, and on each wafer there are a lot of membrane, which these are the opening of the lid, and these are opening. So these are the nano channel, and these are the silicon support and polysilicon support. So if we look at the cross section here, you look at this. So for example, these are the nano channel of 15 nanometer, and the length is about 5 microns. So the aspect ratio is about 1,000, and we do that without just use the convention of lithography. So how do we make this? I'll give you more detail. So we first we patent the silicon and the etch the trench using the reactive ion etching or the inductive copper ion etching, and then we deposit the sacrificial oxide, which will be defined as the nano channel width later, and then we seal refill all the trench and the hole with another polysilicon, and we then analyze it using the chemical mechanical polish to make it flat, and then we use the bond diffusion. The reason we are putting this is that in the later, you know, we will use the KOH agent to release the membrane, and this bond, and when you dope the silicon to the concentration of in the order of 19, their etching rate will be slowed down, and actually if you will form etching stop, so that allow you to form a membrane. So after you do the bond diffusion, we deposit another nitride and pattern the whole opening, and do the KOH to release the rim to the backside of the membrane. And the final step is to etch the nitride and the sacrificial oxide. So I would emphasize that. So the nano channel is here. It's between the silicon and the polysilicon. And it's nothing to do with the lithography. As you know, the most advanced microelectronic, they probably can make the 20 nanometer, but it's just the width. But if you do the etching technology, the aspect ratio maximum is about 20. So it's almost impossible to make the very long strain, very narrow nano channel. And we have been able to, usually we make the nano channel like between a 7 nanometer to 13 nanometer, also a 20 nanometer, and we test that, which I will show you the release data. So these are the release data from the device, from the membrane I just mentioned. So these are the BSA release. So these are the release amount, and these are the interferon alpha. So you know, it's kind of tricky, but basically a straight line. And these are the lysosine. So, but what interesting, I need to emphasize this, is this, if you look at a scale, the device have been worked like 65 days. And you know, if you calculate it, the drug coming out from the capsule is about 75% of the drug itself, but it still gives you the linear release, linear fraction of release. It's very different from the traditional fixed law, which will tell you the profile is either the Gauss distribution or the complementary error function. So why is that? It's because we imagine there are many cars driving through the tunnel. So what would happen if you know the tunnel is has a limited size? So the car that can be passed is something to do how many lanes are available in the tunnel, and also the size of the car. And so we believe it's sent for the narrow channel device. And so we call it a saturation effect, which I will tell you more detail later. But the molecule that allowed to be coming out is definitely something to do with the narrow channel width and also the molecular size of the protein or drug you are going to release, and of course the most important how this molecule they interact with the channel wall and things like that. So
can I ask a question?
Sure.
So it seems to me that the drug will actually put amylase in the bottom of the device, and then it diffuses through the nano channel.
Yes.
So my question would be: is the diffusion effects has a uniform effect to the drug in the bottom? Like after a while, you will see the drug decrease uniformly, or
well. That's a good question. So here, we have profile. I think you are more interested in to see this interferon data. But unfortunately for this, ELISA detection. These ELISA, kits you buy, they have very specific measurement range. So what you can do, you take the diffusion sample, you have to mix with the, to the concentration that the manufacturer suggests. That's why when you measure, you will get a lot of fluctuation here. But I didn't have data here. But we found that when you usually when you release like a 70 or 75 to 80%, the later you will not be the linear fraction, it will be something it's not linear, it will be a curve, you will flat out. I mean the drug coming out it will be much slower than the the first 20 first 60 days.
So for the first figure, if you wait for the longer time, basically you can still see some kind of saturation.
Yes, yes. Eventually, it's just like this.
It's just parameterized by more parameters.
Well, I have to emphasize this. This are not just curve fitting, because the Gauss law, because it has a concentration coefficient. So basically, the available linear fraction is very limited. It will just, the curvature is changing. But here, what we found is this is very straight line, basically. And to the end, yes, you will flat out, it's not any linear fraction anymore. But maybe tomorrow I'll come here, but maybe I can show you more data.
So,
how
much
drug
left after that and
so these are 65 days. So these are the about 25% left in the reservoir. Yes.
Sorry.
goes out at one end of the channel or?
Okay, so for the data I just shown, you know, the membrane are like this. So the flow is vertical. It is vertical. They come in, it's like a you know, the filter membrane, you know, but so the flow direction is vertical. But you know, very different to some, you know, polymer check edge membrane. Our membrane is very uniform and very very well shaped defined. So in that, you know, we can, you know, predict, you know, the and the control the release rate. And I will show you the package later. So
can you say just again, you pump fluid through or
no?
No.
It's a passive device.
Okay.
Yes, well, I will talk about this later. Our eventually goal will be the, you know, you can program the drug delivery, but in effect, in the beginning, it will be safe, you know, you put an implant without any power. It's very passive, but it's able to regulate drug release profile, very linear fraction. So that's our goal for this work. So I would talk about more saturation effect here. So according to the, you know, traffic model, you would say, you know, the car traveling through the tunnel. So what I want to emphasize this. So if you look at the initial concentration, we test the interferon lysozyme every minute in 4.6855. Well, it's the same range. So if you look at the interferon and lysozyme, the molecular weight itself, one is 14 kilo delta and the other is 16 kilo delta. So they are almost similar molecular size. So if you look at the pore size, the interferon go to the, you know, channel which is bigger. So the flux will bigger, so it's here. And the lysozyme, you know, the saturation flux is here. And then if you compare the same channel size and the albumin, the it's 65 kilo delta and the lysozyme. So albumin is much bigger. So the saturation is located at this point. So the saturation flux is much lower. So although, you know, it's we published in the Journal of Chemical Physics last year, and from this result, we said that the saturation flux is something to do the channel height, the ratio of channel height and the molecular size. But I think it's still too far. You know, we need to do more experiment to study what exactly the relationship they are.
Sure. It seems to me that maybe you can pick up different units here, because the y-axis, the regression quotient is basically if you do a statistical test, it's zero.
Well,
I mean, you can just use a smaller unit.
Yes, so that's why I say, you know, we got the Well, you know, I would say this data is based on like a set of data set. I don't really know how many numbers is there, but I agree, you know, we need to, I think it's something to do with the channel height and the molecule radius of the saturation effect, but what the relation it is, we need more data, you know, to support it. It's maybe not the, you know, just the channel height over the molecular radius. It may be the, you know, 2/3 or 3/4. We don't know. We need more, you know, experiment to explore this phenomenon. So our eventual goal is that you know, we build a silicon imprint that has several components. One is the NDS, which I just show you the passive device. And we are interested in you know, active device, which means we allow to activate and program stop the diffusion flow, and we if you know it's not necessary, we just stop the diffusion. In this, you know, there's other component. You know, you also need a sensor that can you know monitor the health parameter, and you also need a control the circuit to get a feedback control, you know, between the release profile and the sensor, and you also need a receiver that can communicate the input and the doctor, you know. So I draw this, but this is probably my future 20 years work here.
How big is that thing?
Well, I will show you the implant later. I will show you the actual device later. So to do that, you know, we are investing other structure of NDS because you know these are the silicon nanofabrication. So we want to have all the key components, you know, how to make this structure. So we have another generation of the nano channel device, which is we call the nano channel drug delivery system NDS. So in this device, you know, the device is composed of two silicon wafer or the sandwich between two wafers. So the drug, they come in, this is an entry port, so they diffuse in. But I think you mentioned that in this device, we integrate both the micro channel and nano channel, which I will show you the structure later. And they just pass through this nano channel, and they go to exit port to the body. And again, you know, the reason we use the silicon is because the you know, during the 40 year, last 40 year, the silicon fab, they have already changed the rule, the world. There are so many technology available, you know, so we just pick up some and make this device. And the silicon is less expensive material, and so far, you know, there's no report about its toxicity in the body, so I think it still be okay. And the most important, because we want to build an active device, that means we need a circuit on board, which silicon is people doing the electronic circuit now, so that's why we're doing that. But because the Ohio State, we are very strong in polymer program. We have the only one NSEC program with the polymer nanoscience engineering. So actually our group is working with some polymer scientist. His name is Jim Lee. We are also interested to make the polymer nano channel here. So there are a lot of possibility. Yes.
If you implant a piece of silicon in somebody's body, does it get clogged up with cells, or do the cells stay away from it?
I will tell you more about that later. We have imprint the device in the mice for the 3 months, and when we take it out, we of course we find a lot, you know, fibroblastic, you know, they are growing around the titanium imprint.
Yeah.
But when we wash it out, you know, we test that we don't, you know, the release profile very compatible, so we don't really think, you know, this cell, you know, will clog the device.
If it's implanted and you don't take it out to wash it off, then it's clogged up anyway.
Well, there are two things. It's something to do with the package, which I will introduce you later. Sorry, because this seminar, I just jumped to this slide, okay? So how it works is that you know, we make this device, so we put that in the carrier, and this is a titanium capsule, and the drug is loaded from the two sides, and then we seal the two end. So actual device this is 3 millimeter by 4 millimeter, but when you package, this is 14 millimeter. It's big, but even it's so big, you know. Because people always, when they talk about the control release, the first thing they will say, can you use for diabetes? I would say no. The reason for that is that if you want to treat a diabetes, the insulin, you know, you put is several grams, every day. That's too much for this capsule. So it's impossible. So this, for our application, it's very problem oriented. So we know what is useful. So that's why we make this device, and we design the device to the release range that can meet this requirement, and then we use it. And your question is, did I answer your question? I will show you some the result. We put that animal later. This is the tableau of the NDS, I just said. So in this device, the structure, the diameter of the device, this is 3 millimeter by 40 millimeter, and the flow come into an entry port, and the first flow the micro channel, but you know, on the other end it's a dead end, so it's nowhere to go. The only chance is that the diffusion through the nano channel to the other finger, mm-hmm. and then coming out to the exit port. So it's shown here. So if you imagine this is entry port, so the drug just come all the way, but here it stop. So only way it can go is the, I don't know if you are allowed to see, but there are a tiny anchor point here, which, you know, when we later seal another bonding, this will form a nano channel. So this is the protocol for how we make this nano channel, and we first deposit the nitride, and then we pattern the flow chamber and the micro channel, and we etch it with KOH or ICP. You know, it depends on its application, and then we open this nitride, and we bottle the the microelectronic technology. It's called a low-cost process. That's the way, you know, they grow the fuel oxide. So we grow the oxide here, which later, you know, it will be defined as the channel height of the nano channel. And then we seal, we deposit another nitride. In that, you know, we want to back etching to form the etching core here. And when you do that, we just strip everything. So it's a silicon, but it has a pattern with both the micro channel and the nano channel. And in the final step, we just seal the device with another glass or silicon. So I emphasize here is the nano channel height is the oxide layer times, if you grow, times 0.46 ratio. It's because during the oxide growth, the silicon consumed is this ratio of the oxide. So this would be the final nano channel height. So these are the AFN image of the device. So you can see that here is the micro channel, and on top is the nano channel. So the step of the nano channel, we also measure that with AFN. It's about 20 nanometer, and this show here is we designed the nano channel of this thing here, and we measure this 60 point on 4-inch wafer, and this is the average. And I need to emphasize here is that you know, oxide growth technology in microelectronics is very mature, and usually, you know, they can control to 3% of the thickness, but but for us, you know, you can imagine when you go down to the very thin oxide, even just a little variation, the ratio is large, you know. So, but I believe, you know, if we can push that to the production line, there's definitely some good way to make it more uniform, more controllable. So these are the IR image of the device we make. So this is the two device that's made of silicon. So how it works is that you know, you first put these two wafer in the piranha. So it got the hydrophilic group, the OH group, and then you align them, put them together, and put in the furnace. In that, the oxide layer will form. So you can see that, you know, this is the entrance pore from the top silicon layer, and this is the top exit pore from the bottom. So between them, you know, you don't see any bubble between. So it definitely give you more very uniform bonding strength. But for this process, because the process required usually is 1,000 Celsius degree. So in that, you know, some oxide there may be gross. So they will change the thickness of the nail channel. That's why, you know, in the beginning we do this because this is good, but we later move to the glass top, which is like this. So we seal this nail channel with the glass that has movable iron, and when you place two wafers together, you heat it up, so that this iron will just move, and then you apply the voltage, this iron will just dry to the surface. So they have the field assistant effect that some chemical bond will form and seal the channel. And but it's very critical, you know, because making the nano channel, because the gap is so tiny. So usually what happens is that if you don't design the width or length very well, the glass, they just clap and touch the bottom. So it will block the nano channel. This is just a figure show that, you know, you see the black spot here, that's because this channel already be closed. So we test that, we don't see anything coming out, so that's why. But another advantage, you know, because you can see this channel, so you know what's going on in this channel. That's another goal, that we move to this NDS device. So these are the example, you know, how we test that. We first test with the quantum dots. You know, the quantum dots, they are semiconductor dots. You know, they can be excited very broad range, and their emission is very specific at some range. So we excited it at, we mix two different quantum dots. One is 565, and its diameter is 34 nanometer, and the other is Q tracker. The emission wavelength is 655, and their diameter is 47 nanometer. So it's just excited, and they give you different emission spectrum. So what you see is that you know, the smaller Q dots, they just go in, and they are across in the nano channel. But these dots, you know, they have very, you know, they are very compatible to the nano channel side. Actually, they don't really diffusion out through this.
So that's how you measure the size? Is that how you?
No, so our goal is that you know, we want to consider the, because I say, you know, we want to study the molecular wave diameter effect. So we can purge these Q dots with very specific diameter. We want to know, you know, what's the geometry, you know, the size of their flux, you know. So that's a goal.
How big is the cross section of one of those?
For this is 5 micron. Micro channel 5 micron, the nail channel is also 5 micron. And showing here is that you know, we test the, you know, how liquid will evaporate in this micro channel. So as I mentioned, these are the micro channels. So you see the post. These are actually the nano channel. So how it drives is that the liquid just coming out quickly, and then in the nano channel it just evaporated. And for this, you know, I must mention, you know, because these are done with just DI water, and we do it with some solvent like IPA or you know the methanol, which the wavefront, you know, how it moves is very controllable. You know, it's very repeatable. But if when you go to the release of protein, it would be the different story. Because what happens is this protein, they are bipolar molecule. They definitely will interact with the silicon surface. So depends on what molecule it is. I show here is this is the lysozyme molecule. And what they did is that they just stick to the silicon surface, but because they are very relatively hard protein, so they just form more there. So for lysozyme itself, if you crystallize it, the protein structure is about 3 nanometer by 3 nanometer by 4.5 nanometer, and we saw that you know when you cover the silicon is about 3 nanometer, which again I want to tell you it's just the model there, it just coated, but because it coated, so the lysozyme, the later lysozyme diffuse, they don't see the silicon anymore, they only see the lysozyme surface, so the surface will change. And this is just an example. We have, in our lab, we had tests like at least 10 different drugs. And some drug, you know, like antistatin, when you test them in the device, what happens is that they will grow each other. So eventually they just clog the nail channel and nothing coming out. So we are working really hard to understand, you know, what is, you know, can be really used for the medical application. And we also have another protocol that's, we also treat this surface treatment. Like I say, you know, if, because silicon, you know, it's very hydrophobic, so definitely a lot of cell or protein will adhere. But what happens is that if you put it in the room temperature, a thin oxide will grow. In that, you know, it will become relatively hydrophilic, but it's not perfect. So we engineer, you know, we just put a pack in which, you know, there are many hydroxy group on top. So it will make the protein or cell adhesion much less. And we are actually collaborate with some our Italian scientists about the molecular simulation. This is not my work, but what we did is that we built the model that's this is they call the multi-scale modeling, because you know the protein itself is very complicated, so you can you know really build the model. So you will keep some important parameter like its charge, it's a functional group, but you cannot just put everything there. So what we found is that you know if you put a lysozyme interact with silicon surface, this system, you know, it has the system has the energy lowest point about 3.5 nanometer, which is very interesting, because I mentioned that, you know, when the lysozyme they transfer to the through the silicon surface, they just coat it, but it's because it's very more there, so the thickness is about 3 nanometer. That's why we believe, you know, this is the lowest point. And we also build a model which is based on the ideal gas model, is that you know we simulate the molecule transfer is a gas, and we have this equation. So from the molecular simulation, we got the lowest energy point, we have the charge and also the density of the molecule. We just put that in the model, so we can fit the experiment. But
on the x-axis, what is this exactly?
This one.
Yeah.
These are the distance of the lysozyme.
Of what? Of the center of mass.
Of
the center of mass from the wall.
Yes. So these are how we test in vitro of the NDS. So the silicon membrane, you know, we make it and we put that on the A-well cold start system, and and these are the donor well which hold the drug, and the drug just, you know, pass through the nano channel, and they come to acceptor well. So every day we just take some sample from acceptor well. Well, that's the idea, but probably not Sunday, just Saturday. That's why we're missing these 2 points. So these are well, it's not that sexy, but and the error bar is a little too large, but these are just, you know, the first tests, you know, we have. So we are still working on this system. So I think I already go over this package. So one thing, you know, we were interested to know is that, you know, because we are loading some protein in the devices, and as you know, these protein, they are very easy in nature. So when they come out from the nano channel, are they really biological functional? So that's why we test, do a simple test. So we put a imprint in the culture cell, which is a PBMC cell, and the function of this cytokine, the interferon, is that it will induce the cell to generate the, it's called a p-statin 1 protein, and you know, we just put the anti-p-statin primary antibody and label it with the secondary anti-rabbit A4AA conjugated, so it give you the fluorescence, you know, of this p-statin protein. So these are the control. These are control. So these are the cell, you know, without any interference. So their fluorescence is in this range, and these are also the control. You know, we just treat the cell with the PBS. They are four in the same spectrum. So, and these are the positive control. So if you treat a cell with a lot of interferon, the frequency shift because you put a secondary antibody. So these are the sample we taken out from a week, and you see the shift, you know, between the positive and between the ISO and the control. So you know some p-statin protein is generated. So that's it's not a quantitative, it's semi-quantitative measurement, but it gives you idea if this system will work. So then we do something bad to a poor little mice. So these mice, they are the C57BL6 immunocompetent mice, and the cell line we use is B1, B16F1 melanoma cell line, and we inject this cell line, about 1 million cell, to the mice, and so the tumor, the cancer tumor, they start growing, and on the day of sixth day, we do a surgical, we cut the back of these mice and put the capsule inside. So you can see that there's a, you know, the capsule over here, and we just monitor, you know, the tumor growth. So these are the very preliminary data. So I must say that because when you do this in vivo test, there are too many parameter variation. So I have to be very careful, you know, with this data. But this show you the, you know, interferon, you know, you just treat it with IP injection. So even you treat the IP injection, the tumor, you know, they're still growing. They may go to a size like 30,000 millimeter. And this, yes, please.
I'm wondering if you should have used the term immuno-incompetent.
Yes, it's immuno-incompetent, yeah.
I believe that your slide said immuno-competent.
I have to check with this because I personally don't do this anymore.
I know, but you're suggesting that they would react against a melanoma cell line and
uh-huh.
destroy the cells and then never get your tumor.
Uh-huh.
So they, in order to get the tumor, you've got to stop the immune system from attacking it.
Yeah,
so it should be immuno-incompetent.
But if, I mean, if, usually the immune, I don't understand this anymore, but I guess, you know, if it's immune free, should these mice be hair free? You know, they don't have any hair.
Oh, but the hair has little to do with it.
Is that right?
That's nude mice you're talking about.
That's the nude mice, yeah.
Right, but if the immuno refers to the antibodies,
mm-hmm.
or, okay, it will not produce antibodies against the melanoma cells. If you're trying to establish a tumor, you don't want the animal to attack the
yes,
cancer.
Yes, I agree, yeah. I'll double check with this point, okay?
But it's just a
mice
is a healthy, it's just a healthy mice.
Yeah, no, and the cells are compatible. I mean, they're from the same species, you know, they're the same animal, so they will no mount response to it. So it would be the equivalent of the person having a tumor. You see, look at the cell line, it's this murine melanin cell line of the same, look like the
Well, I personally don't perform this animal test, but I can tell this style borrowed from my colleagues, so I don't do any change. So maybe it's what we did, but I can check and I'll tell you what exactly we are doing. So these are for this animal there are probably 7 control, you know, but because I just put 2 here. And this show you the devices that release. If there's a statistical significance, we need a lot of population, you know. But I would say it's too early to say, you know, this device really have function. But we did see something, you know, the tumor are smaller than the IP injection. So we are actually, you know, to achieve the AP control NDS, we are actually, you know, further, you know, we are integrate the berry channel into this NDS device because we want to take the advantage of the neo channel. Because what happens is that, the substrate we are using is a silicon. So they have a lot of negative charge on the surface. So if the channel, you know, goes down to nano, the electrical double there, you know, they will be very, you know, almost in the range of the nano channel size. So when you apply the voltage, you know, you can just use the electro osmotic flow, you know, use a very low voltage to drive this drug flow. So these are just examples. So we apply the 3 volt, you know, between the 2 ends, and this is tiny zero. So the drug, these are the physical element. So they are just pull out to the entry port. So and then you do the reverse the voltage. They just pull back, and eventually they'll go back to the reservoir. So I think it's. It's my pleasure to give this talk, and I think the most important for this workshop, which I enjoy with Dr. Mauro Ferrari School, is that you know, we need a lot of people to talk. You know, not only I am very engineering, as you said, but I think, you know, there are many problems, you know, in medicine or biology. If they can borrow a tool, you know, in semiconductor, because we know how to make this chip, and we can control, you know, the size very precisely. So it may be useful, you know, to you, and there are many new things when you go to a nano scale, you know, you have new phenomena, and if you can use that, you know, that will be very unique, and the final thing, even you make this device, you still need to know what's the physics or biology behind this, and I think it's very important. Okay, thank you.